Resemblance. Who do you resemble? Do you resemble your mother? Do you resemble your father? I remember being at, I think it was a reunion, or I'm not really sure. I think it was a family or member or a friend. But I remember this lady whom I had never seen before. She came walking toward me smiling, saying, "You don't have to tell me who you are. I know who your father is because you look just like him." I didn't think I looked anything like my father, at least not at that time. And she was kind of scaring me a little bit, but she was able to identify who I was because of what I looked like. But isn't that something that we do when we have children or we look at someone else's child? Isn't that something that we ask, maybe out loud or give our opinion? You know, who do they take after? Do they look like their mom? Do they look like their dad? You know, I look at my children and I would say maybe a couple of them look like me. Maybe a couple of them look like Juanita. But honestly, they all have some of each of us, though I am sure that they all take after their mother when it comes to having a strong will. I meant to delete that part. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that one. Yeah. But how come we resemble each other? The simplest of answers is that we have genes that are passed down from both parents. We often see similar traits in our offspring, though it can be more complicated than that. I'll just stick with the simplest, and that's parents pass traits onto their children. Some traits are good. Some traits are neither good nor bad, like color of eyes or color of hair. Some traits can be bad. Things that maybe we model. But who do you resemble? That's the question that I'm asking, and we will look at in the message today. But I'd like to read a couple of passages for you. And the first one's going to be found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, verses 39 through 44. "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things of your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." We see here that Jesus is addressing a group of Israelites who literally want to kill Jesus because of what he's saying. Jesus calls God Father. And the Israelites started out by saying, or this group of Pharisees, they started out by saying that their father was Abraham. And then they say, well, then it's God. But the interesting thing is that Jesus points out the idea of those passed down traits. They believe that they are descendants of Abraham. And they are the fulfillment of God's promise of having descendants so vast that they cannot be counted. So they call Abraham their father. But Jesus is really calling them out. You say that Abraham is your father, but as I look at you and as I compare you to him, I see no resemblance. I see no resemblance to Abraham. And then when they say God is their father, Jesus does the same thing. I see no resemblance of God in you. But what traits is Jesus seeing in them? And Jesus tells them what he sees: murderous thoughts and intentions, lies and departures from truth. In fact, not just he's not just seeing a little lie here or there, but it's an outpouring of lies. He sees these traits, and Jesus really hits them hard, this group that calls God their father, by telling them they don't resemble Abraham nor God in any way, but they do resemble the devil, and that is Satan, who is a murderer from the beginning, whose native language is lies and deception. See, Jesus is almost doing what that woman did to me, saying, I know who your father is because you look just like him. Only he's saying it to a group that says, we belong to God, but he's saying, I recognize you as being children from Satan. You know, this group was angry with Jesus before he said that. I would say that just turned up the heat quite a bit more. But it was the truth. These people didn't even remotely look like Abraham. Before we get into our verses in 1 John, let's look at another one from, again, from the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. Verses 3 through 6. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Jesus is trying to explain something to Nicodemus, who struggled to understand what Jesus is saying about being born again. And the point that Jesus is saying is that we all have that physical birth. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we make him our Lord and look to him as our Savior, then there's a spiritual birth taking place. It is to be born again of the Spirit. The physical birth, of course, is when we are born of our mothers. That is what Jesus is saying when flesh gives birth to flesh. The spiritual birth is when we come into the kingdom of God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and receive a measure of his Spirit. Because as sinners, we are spiritually dead. But when we come to Christ, when we put our faith into Christ, we're given life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. With the physical birth, we can ask, what traits do we carry from our parents? Do I look like my father? Do I look like my mother? But as we look at our message today, when we're born of the Spirit, what traits do we carry from our Heavenly Father? What traits do we have from our Father in heaven? Turn with me to 1 John 2:28, and we'll get to our verses for today as I go through the Epistle of John. 1 John 2:28. I'll be reading this out of the New American Standard. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. There's a family resemblance to all who have been born of the Heavenly Father. We again see the important topic that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. John starts out in the first couple verses that I read here. Let's go back. He gives his reader something to think about. Are you confident in who you are? Something I've been doing with my son for a little while, Joshua, and really never thought about it much till this message, but I'll go through a little routine of some sayings. I'll look at him and I'll say, "Whose son are you?" And he'll look at me and says, "I'm your son." And then I tell him, "That's right, and I love you, and don't you forget it." And then we'll tickle and play and roughhouse and do all that fun stuff. But I like how he replies, "I'm your son." How confident is he on whose son he belongs to, or whose son he is? He's very confident. You know, I've done that with all of my kids too, in some way, but it just seems right now as I'm doing it with Joshua. But I want him to know that I love him. He's valuable to me. He has a place in our family. He's my son. I want him growing up being confident of that information. Being confident of whose son he belongs to. He's my son. My kids are my kids. My daughters are my daughters. What is John doing here in these verses? He is repeating over and over that those who believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, they are children of God. He does it over and over, so that they will have the confidence in knowing who they are, who they belong to, knowing that they are loved, they are valued, and they have a heavenly Father that wants to be near to them. Why? I think a lot of times as humans, we always have these lagging questions. Maybe not so much for you, but many want to know, who am I? You know, this is for all, those that believe and don't believe, but those are some questions that, who am I? Where do I belong? Does anyone love me? And John is writing this letter. He's telling them who they are, where they belong, what they have, who loves them. So if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, who are you? Are you a child of God? And how confident are you in that? And I say that because sometimes people struggle. It's like, well, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to live for him. I mess up a lot. You know, I think I'm a child of God. Well, Scripture's clear. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Is it your desire to live for him? And I'm going to tell you right now, you are a child of God. So, I want you to try something. I want you to say, I am a child of God. And I want you to say it with confidence. Who are you?
I am a child of God.
Yes. Praise the Lord. I love it when Joshua, when I ask him, whose son are you? He looks at me with a determined face. I am your son. Who are you? Maybe the church that John is writing to was struggling. They've seen a lot of problems. They've had people leave their faith in Christ, chase after other things. Maybe this church that John's writing to is trying to figure out, you know, who are we? We thought we had things figured out. We thought we understood. And they're left with some hurts and some fractures in their church. And John's bringing back the same topics over and over again, and that being children of God is one of those. And it's just, he wants them to be confident in saying, I'm a child of God because I have faith in Jesus Christ. I almost wonder if this church is almost like a child trying to find their way. The way John writes this, he also tells them to have that confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So Jesus, or John is again returning to that topic that Jesus' return is soon. And he wants this church to have the confidence. But I was thinking, sometimes when I was left alone, when I was younger, you know, how did I behave when my parents were away? Did I keep the rules that I knew were in place? Or when they were gone, did all that fly out the window? I remember there's a few times that I might have misbehaved while mom and dad were gone. And when they came back, I had to own up to some of those things that they found out about. I can remember I had to answer some difficult questions. And I remember being ashamed of my behavior while they were gone. I knew I misbehaved. I knew that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And I had to accept the responsibility for my actions. John is telling his readers that the Lord's return is soon. Will you remain confident in your identity as a child of God and remain faithful? Or will you be unprepared and ashamed when he returns? Because your faith was not held. Now I immediately think, you know, part of me thinks that all of us will be a little ashamed because none of us are perfect. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. There's all things that, all of us, there's things that we are not proud that we've done. But here's one thing. I know I'm not perfect. Only Jesus was. But I am confident in that I am a son of God. I am secure in who I am, and I am secure in my faith in Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of those things. I'm not walking the edge trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. I am confident that I resemble my Heavenly Father. Not perfectly, Not perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm confident that I resemble my Heavenly Father because Christ brings that out of me. I demonstrate as best I can through actions and speech as they resemble my Heavenly Father, but I am born of Him because I have faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus brings the resemblance out of me, not me bringing it out. God's perfect love is further demonstrated by Him adopting us as children. I love getting into that idea that's taught in Scripture about God is adopting us. God is telling each and every one of you that you are His child. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. Those are the words that God has for us. The story that, or the entire Bible leads us to those very things. You are loved. You are valued. As you resemble your Heavenly Father after being born again, we're told by John here that the world no longer recognizes you. If you think of sin and darkness, something that John's talked a lot about, if you think about them as having a voice, pretend it has a voice saying, I don't recognize you. I don't know you and I don't know your Father. That's what's happening when we put our faith in Christ. When we turn from sin and walk in the ways of Christ, we no longer resemble the world, but we resemble our Heavenly Father. The world doesn't know God. It doesn't recognize us either. Now, how many of you have ever been asked, why do you do that? It doesn't make sense. Why would you go out of your way to help a person that you don't know? Why would you give of your own hard-earned money to a person who cannot work? Why would you give of your finances to a church or a charity? Why would you take years to work for something and then give it up because God called you to something else? Why would you do that? Why would you love someone who doesn't show love in return? Why would you pray for your enemies instead of hate them? The world doesn't understand because they don't know God. The other thing is, it's also expected of us to share with others who God is, who Christ is. But for some, they don't want to know Him. So getting back to the question that I started with, who do you resemble? Unfortunately, John does give warning about those who may resemble the Heavenly Father through speech, but in their heart, there's no resemblance at all. And John is telling the church to be careful that we're not just giving the Lord lip service by saying things, but holding in the worldly things in our hearts. Are we giving our all to Him? But I also love there's some more great news in this passage. Let's see here. It's 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Christ's return is coming soon, and we're confident in our faith in Christ. We're confident in who we are as children of God, and we have much to look forward to, like eternal life with Christ. And all that is awesome and good, but there's more in this verse. What we will be has not appeared as yet. Well, what does that mean? It means we will be further changed. We will be like Christ after his resurrection. When Christ was resurrected, he was changed. When Christ returns, we will be given glorified bodies that will never be sick, that will never grow old, that will never die, that will never give tears and sadness or pain. No one has appeared in the world like this except for Jesus after his resurrection. But John is telling us that we will be like him in the physical sense, but we also will be like him in the spiritual one as well. We'll be free from sin. We'll be free from error and falsehood. We'll be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something to look forward to? Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. But being like Christ doesn't mean being identical to him. So we will not be omniscient, omnipresent, or omnipotent. I know those are big words. So basically, we're not going to be all-knowing. We're not going to know all things. I think we'll know a lot more. But we won't be everywhere at the same time. And we won't be all-powerful. You see, Christ is fully man and fully God, and we're not God. But we will have glorified bodies to look forward to. Though we have much to look forward to after Christ's return and will resemble him all the more, we must be ever vigilant in our likeness of Christ today. It is through our faith in Christ that leads us to pursue his likeness all the more. Let our actions and words reflect our Heavenly Father. Let us put away all that resembles the world. You see, we do have free will that we still need to deal with. And as far as we have the ability to resemble our Heavenly Father, we need to pursue that. Words, actions. Never forget, though, of who you are. You who has put your faith in Jesus Christ, are a child of God.